We're in this a course on the fruit of the Spirit, and it's called Spirit-Led Character. And what we want, and just like we sang, he lives in us. Christ lives in us. So why does he live in us? Why does he want to live in us? Well, it's kind of like, really, we have this big walk-in closet inside of each one of us, and the Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus live there. And so what we need to do in the character, to be character-led or Spirit-led character, is we need to go into that closet and get dressed every day. So we need to dress in love. We talked about last 2 weeks ago. We got to dress in joy. And this morning we're going to dress in peace. And we're going to go through this section, and you need to go into that closet. And you got to walk in there, and you got to get dressed for presenting yourself to the world. And actually, you probably should never get undressed from this stuff, but we tend to. So until you get into the habit of just staying dressed, you need to consciously get up in the morning and get dressed in the character of the Holy Spirit, the fruit. The fruit should be there, and as I said before, the fruit is not optional. Well, I really like love, not too much on faith, and I don't want to be kind, so I'll take 3 out of 7. Well, maybe 4 out of 9, I don't know. You don't have that option. All of them need to work together. And so they all work together in Christ. He was our leader. He was the one that went before us. And so what you want to do is you want to be him. You want to be like him. You want to emanate him in everything that you do. People, when they look at you, they should see Jesus first, not Jim Caruso. And especially in the hard times when the pressure's on, it should be Jesus that comes out first. So we need to walk into that giant walk-in closet and get dressed in the fruit of the Spirit. So we need to understand something, that this is not something we do. Remember I talked about doing and being? We're not talking about doing peace, and the world's calling for peace, and we have peace accords all over the world, and we want, and you know, there's a harmonic convergence where we're all going to hold hands. Do you remember that? We're going to all hold hands, and the planets and the stars are all going to line up, and we're all going to have peace for the rest of our lives. Well, that didn't happen. Because peace is not a concept. Peace is a person, and he lives inside of you. His name's Jesus Christ. And so you want him to come out of that. You want him to emanate out of you. And so here's where we find in Isaiah 9, verse 6, and we use this a lot of times at Christmas, but it's for us today. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Even the Canadian government will be upon his shoulders. Even the municipal government will be upon his shoulders. And some of us are going, oh, what if that party gets in? Oh, I don't know, I just shouldn't, look at what's happened in the United States. Let me tell you something, the government of all these countries is upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God and Everlasting Father, and this is the beauty, Prince of Peace. He lives inside of you. The Prince of Peace lives inside of you. Is that good news or not? So peace is not a concept. It's not an environment that we create. Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. There was a lot of fear of God. And I think maybe some people still have this fear of God, that in the Old Testament, if you saw God, no one has ever seen my face and lived. So God appears to somebody and they know they're toast, like they're done. But it's a moment of glory because you get to meet God, and then it's like, oh no, I'm gonna die. So when you think about that, you don't really want to meet God face to face, right? You just like to see him on a video. You want to see maybe somebody else, go to somebody else's funeral who saw him, eat some egg sandwiches and say, that must have been awesome. God has changed that. So, but Gideon, remember how powerful Gideon was? In Judges 6:22, it says, when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, or actually Jesus Christ, because it was a theophany, he exclaimed, alas, I'm done. No, it actually says here, the sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face, but the Lord said to him, peace. You need to be sensitive to hear from God when he says into your heart, peace. When the storm's blowing, when everything is going in the wrong direction, when everything is happening around you in your own life or in somebody else's life, what that other person needs to see is the same peace that's inside of you. And you need to be able to, you may be able to emulate that to them as they come into your presence. They need peace. And then he said, peace, you're not going to die. That'd be reassuring, I think. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it not the place of peace, but he called it the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. That's what he wants you to dress in. That's what he wants to come out of you. He wants you to be seen as peace, not some concept of peace, not some program of peace, not anything like that, but he wants to see the peace of Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit wants to see that come through you. The Lord is peace. So there's peace in us. I love John 17 because it talks about Jesus praying for us. You think about that? He prays for us. No, he's our advocate who stands before us and between us and the Father and takes our prayer requests. He's our intercessor. But here he is with his disciples, or praying for his disciples and praying for us. And verse 15 of chapter 17 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a pretty stiff practice to do. I mean, you got to love people. You got to not get angry. You love your enemies. You got to love them. Well, I like them. I don't have to love them. It's not that. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you and will be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. Interesting thing with truth is, truth will set you free, right? But also tick you off. You know that? Especially if your spouse tells you the truth about something that you thought you had well hidden. You'll get mad. It'll set you free because you'll deal with it, but you'll get mad. The word cannot escape him, it says, and continues on in that scripture, because it neither sees him, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he loves or lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Verse 19 says, before long, the whole world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. There's so much rich stuff there. We're not going to die because he's the resurrection and the life. And on that day, you'll realize that I am in the Father. Listen, this is the closet, people. I am in the Father. So he is in the Father's walk-in closet. And you are in me. He's in yours. And I am in you. See how tightly wound we are there? We're integrated into the Holy Spirit. Integrated into the Father. Integrated into Jesus Christ. That's what we are. That's a fourth dimension. That's like, how could that be? Like, I don't think there's a hole in my body where there's a closet, open the door, and there's a whole bunch of spiritual stuff in there. It's a different dimension. We need to walk in that. We need to walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit every day of our lives, every circumstance of our life. And Jesus went ahead and walked that for us. He was tempted with all things. He suffered in all things. We want the power of his resurrection. We want to see the things that God did. We want to do those, and we want to do them greater. But in that same sentence in Galatians where it talks about that, it says, you will know the sufferings of his fellowship, the fellowship of his sufferings, and the power of his resurrection. You got to understand that God is the same, not only yesterday, today, and forever, but he's the same in tough times, in good times, and in future times that you have no thoughts of, you don't even know what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is the same all the time. And if we can start to walk in that, doesn't mean that you don't have feelings and doesn't mean that you don't have emotions. But what it is that there's this peace that runs deeper than anything else in your whole entire being. And that really speaks to you. But boy, does that ever speak to people around you? Because the world does not have this peace. The world cannot create this peace. There is no peace like this peace in our world. It will never come to a place of peace like this. No matter what accord has been written, what people agree on, we have a war, a spiritual war that's happening for the souls of people. And that's why we have this unrest in our world. And if we have the peace that passes all understanding, if we have the peace of Jesus Christ himself, if we have this inside of us, we can be such ambassadors. For Christ. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. I don't know, but I think it's pretty cool when Jesus kind of appears. He might not appear physically, most likely not, but you just know when you're in the presence of God. Do you understand? You know better is when you're not. You know when you're not in the presence of God, and that's really a tough place. And sometimes we just kind of go, well, maybe God's not interested in us right now or whatever. There's something separating. What you need to do is you need to realize that no matter what you feel, no matter what you think, no matter what's been told to you, Jesus Christ is the same. He is there for you 100%. And you need to draw into him and put everything else aside. You need to trust him. And the peace that passes all understanding, the peace will rule your lives and govern your lives. Romans 8 says this in verse 5, those who live according to the flesh will have their mind set on the flesh and what it desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. It's fate. It's got nothing to hope for. If you hear, there's a huge move on the whole atheist movement today, and people just have no hope, and they mock people that do have hope. They mock the church. The reality is that this is the truth. That when your heart is set on the Spirit of God, it's alive, and you got hope. And you don't have to try to convince them that there's no God. You just have to be there and be obedient and be willing to let the Holy Spirit speak through you. And he will change the stone heart. He'll put a flesh heart in. Don't ever debate with what you know. Speak in the Spirit. And sometimes that means say nothing. Which is really tough for me. Because I want to, you know what? I am so wise and so blessed that those people are talking with me, that I could straighten them out in a minute. Don't we feel like that sometimes? Like, we got a good argument, and they're going to hear it. No, they're not. But I'll tell you, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the Holy Spirit gets an opportunity, they hear more in that second than we would ever hear in this whole world that they live in. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The world needs peace. The mind governed by this flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It can't do it. It can't submit because it's in opposition. It's battling in a spiritual realm. The flesh is battling the Holy Spirit. And you got to lay your flesh down. You got to lay yourself down. You got to lay your life down and say, I will no longer serve that master. I'll serve Jesus Christ. You're no longer, when you become a Christian, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you are no longer under that master of death and sin. The old man has died, so you can say, I now am dead to that and I'm alive. I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to Christ. And he's alive inside of you. And that should give you just a fiber of strength that you never had before in your whole entire life. So Jesus just didn't tell us this. He lived it. I love this part in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. He's the leader, remember. And a squall came up. I don't know what a squall is. I will not go catch halibut. I just had halibut last night, and it was really good. There's no way I'll go 200 miles off the coast where there's nothing I can see that pertains to dirt or mountains or trees and go like, like, I can't do that. I'm just not a boat guy. But I'll pay whatever it costs to have halibut because I really like halibut. We went down by the boat dock today and or yesterday, and there's a guy that does sea urchins. I've never seen them before. They look like big porcupines, that sea porcupines, I guess. And so the idea is that he goes way out there and he dives down and gets them off the. There's no way. So I don't know. Who's ever eaten sea urchins? Are they good? I think I'd like them, but I ain't going down for them. Anyways, that's a little digression there. The squall came up on the lake, and so the boat was being swamped. Luke's right. Luke's the physician, right? He's not the fisherman. He says, well, there was a bit of a squall came up, and the boat was being swamped. That's more than a squall for me. That's like the perfect storm. We're going down. And the disciples, who are fishermen, said, we're going down. And they were in great danger. Actually, they're in great fear. And the disciples went and woke him up. Jesus is still asleep in the boat when the water's coming over. You want to talk about peace? Right? How many of you, and don't put your hands up, can go to sleep when your spouse is driving on a long trip? You know what I'm talking about now? Right? I can. I trust Elaine. Yes, I can. The reality is that they didn't have any peace and the boat was getting swamped, and then they shake him and they say, hey, Jesus, we're going to drown. And he goes, oh, man, got the coffee on. Like, I'm okay. We're not going to drown because that's why I was sleeping. And he gets up and he calms the storm. He calms the storm of your life if you'll just realize that he's in the boat with you. He's in the boat with you. And he hasn't asked you to get out of the boat. That was another story. He's just saying, I'm in the boat with you. Just realize that I'm not out of control here. I didn't go to sleep because I was really tired. I think he went to sleep to see the reaction of the boys. Well, he already knew the reaction of the boys. We're going to drown. You're not going to drown with Jesus. No matter how many times you're thrown up on the boat ride, no matter how fearful you are, I remember as a paramedic, I lived on the Gulf Islands, and there was a 40-foot pilot boat that we'd take to the different islands to pick up patients. And one night we had to go out, and it was like really, it was horrible. I was sicker than the person I was transporting. And I thought, booze, booze. And I'm standing in the hull of the boat, and it's just like, I'm looking out, and all I can see is red water, green water, red water, green water, red water, green water, because there's lights on the side of the boat, right? And I'm thinking, I don't ever want to do this again. I don't care if I can't help somebody, but I don't ever want to be in this position again. I didn't have peace. So I understand what the disciples are saying. They had a lot more experience. That would have been nothing for them. It was a lot for me, but I knew that I had God's life. My life was in God's hands, even in that situation. We need to understand that we're never in the boat alone. In Ephesians 2, it says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you were once far away and have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's salvation. For he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups into one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law which it commands and the regulations. So through grace, we're set apart from that. His purpose was to create in himself a new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. I'm going to ask Pat Volomé to come up in a minute. Pat, where are you? Okay, yeah, you want to come up right now. I'm just going to read a couple more scriptures, and then I'm going to have Pat share something that that he's walked through, and I believe that this is really important for us to hear. So, Pat, just be up here with me. Okay, come on over here.
Okay, thanks.
This guy is awesome. In Acts, yeah, give him a hand. In Acts chapter 12, verse 6, it says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains. Sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone on the cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Okay, the little story leading into that is James was just beheaded. Peter's going to court the next day. Doesn't look good, all right? He's being charged with the same thing. And Herod doesn't like any Christians, so it's not a good picture. Like, I'm not sure I'd sleep. I'm not sure I would, because if you're going to die the next day, I'd just probably want to stay up as long as I can. I don't think I'd have the peace inside of me to sleep, but angel came, says, Peter, wake up. Can you imagine? Like, think of that, the kind of peace that Peter had. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off his wrist. Awesome. You got to understand that Peter had been through a lot. He's the one that denied Christ. He's the one that walked on the water. He'd learned this relationship with God. He learned about the power and the peace of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And so when he was in jail, he knew he was in jail. He wasn't in the boat alone. He wasn't in jail alone. He's alive. Jesus is alive in your situation. Jesus is alive, and he wants to bring you into a place of peace. That's the fruit of Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. And so it says here in Isaiah, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Pat, I want you to just kind of share. We talked a bit, and I'll just let you share from your heart, okay? Pull that up a bit more. Just push it up here. Just kind of eat it when you're talking.
Yeah. Well, I have for most of my life been able to kind of see only with one of my eyes because of my premature birth. And last.
You might have to start again here. How many are going to keep following me? Don't follow me.
Better
follow
now.
Christ.
Yeah.
That's better. Way better.
Okay. I have been able to see only with one of my eyes for most of my life because of my premature birth. And last October, I went for a regular eye checkup, and the doctors actually found a macular hole in my only seeing eye. So, well, they asked me a few questions, and then they said, okay, we'll keep this under observation. And in April, when I went to them, they told me that the hole had grown. And my vision and my only seeing eye was going down steadily. And they had actually recommended that I go for surgery right away. I had experienced a partial healing from God when I first became a Christian about 21 years ago. And my eyesight had been steady for the last 21 years. And this first time, you know, it was a very anxious moment to know that your only seeing eye is starting to go down. And the doctor's office started to explain to me very clearly about what the procedure was all about. And there was a kind of a growing anxiety that was rising in my heart because I've never touched this part before, you know. But I heard the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit as the doctor's office was talking to me, and lady in the doctor's office was talking to me and said, you'll be fine, don't worry about it. And went for surgery on May 8th. And this For I have, like I said, been a Christian for a very long time, and I've walked with God closely, but on the day of the surgery, I experienced something which was just wonderful. Felt that the Lord had actually carried me in his arms and held me close to himself. I've never felt so incredibly close to God. And the peace of God just saturated my entire soul, and I just went through the whole day, and everything, you know, went well as planned, and God just met every need of mine, and I would like to just describe it as an experience of going to a movie with your best friend, the Lord Jesus. And I just want to tell you, on May 28, 3 weeks after the surgery, I went back to work, and I was able to put in 2 days, Thursday, Friday, and worked full 7.5 hours, and I would like to summarize that I'm no longer really afraid of trials in my life, because that's when I really feel closest to God, and it's been a really wonderful experience. So my heart is filled with praise and gratitude to the Lord Jesus for what he's done.
Thank you, Pat. Bless you. I wanted Pat to share that, because some of you are going through some things yourselves. Some of you are in that boat, and you see Jesus seems to be asleep. He's not responding to you, and Pat didn't share that the option in this surgery, he had the option of this increasing his eyesight, which God has miraculously done, and he still has a bit of a bubble in his eye, and that'll dissipate, and he has seen better than he's seen in his 41 years of life. But the option was that it could go bad and he'd be totally blind. So there's big stakes here, big risk. But I loved when I talked to him, when he said, it's like going to a movie with my best friend. I want you to get that in your heart right now, because some of you need to go that movie with your best friend. So I'm going to have the worship team come back up here, and I'm going to have we're going to have a time of prayer. I just really sense that we need to have an opportunity for you to have somebody come alongside and pray. Philippians 4 says this, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, the peace that is part of the fruit of the Spirit, the peace of God, the peace that's in your walk-in closet you need to get dressed with, the peace of God, the peace of God that transcends all understanding. We try to figure things out. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He wants to clothe you in that. He wants to wrap you in that. He wants to minister to you this morning in that. And so if I could have the prayer team, and I ask Pat to come up as well, if you would come up and just be in the front here. We have a few minutes before we'll dismiss. Pat, come up here, Elaine, and others, the board members, and just come up here. All those who come up to pray for others. I want you to just think about this, that Jesus is in your boat right now, and he's not asleep, all right? You just need to let him talk to you this morning. You need to let him speak to you this morning so that you can receive from him that peace that makes it like you're just walking alongside your best friend on your way to something awesome. So would you please stand with me? And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is no better time right now than to allow God to open that closet in your life and fill himself inside of that. And so I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. And some of you have been here for quite a few Sundays and have said this prayer over and over again. If you have never met Jesus Christ, I want you to say this prayer to him. And then I also, if you have been feeling dry and you feel like you've backslidden or you just are not in a place where God wants you to be, you need to say this prayer too and say, Lord, I need to come back. I need to be refreshed. I need you to forgive me. I need you to open that closet and just pour out the fruit of the Spirit into my life. So I want you to say this out loud with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your love, your peace, your joy. I thank you so much for giving your life, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. As a result, I can ask for forgiveness. And so I do right now. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you come into my heart? Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior and my best friend? And would you open up that closet and allow your Holy Spirit to come all about me from inside? And I receive you now, Jesus, as my personal Savior. In your precious name, amen. If you are struggling with anything, if there's been darkness through this week, if you have just felt so dry and empty, if there's anything going on in your life where you need to be refreshed, if there's a lack of peace in your life, I just invite you to come up right now as we worship, and we're going to anoint you with oil, and we'll pray for you. Please just come right now as we just go into worship.